Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a Fireside Chat. This is your host, Lance White, otherwise known on occasion as the Zany Mystic. Tonight's guest is someone I met on the internet who happened to mention that she had written a book about some of her experiences being a starseed, among other mystical experiences. She kindly sent me a copy, and I immediately felt an affinity and a resonance with her story, and I thought it'd be a wonderful treat for the listeners. She is a certified Laho Chi practitioner, I hope I said that right, Reiki or Reiki master, depending on if you say potato or potato, and a Huna One healer. Her book is called Heart's Higher Ground, Journey of a Starseed. Let's welcome Kathy to our show. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Hi, Lance. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm always good. On the air, I'm good. Kathy, I thought it might be interesting just to go back to your childhood a little bit, just to see what that was like. I mean, were you a normal kid, or, you know, because there's a lot of people out there that are not, that don't fit in, and I thought maybe you could share some of those experiences.
Sure, I'd love to. That was the intent in writing the book in the first place, so that people did not feel like they were all alone, because that's how I felt when I was growing up.
Me too.
And so I wanted to be able to provide some kind of a safe haven for people to read about and to realize that they're actually not alone, that there's actually thousands of us out there.
Mm-hmm.
The very first memory I have of being different was because I felt like I was very aware of landing in my body as an infant.
Wow.
I told the story even as a child, and it used to irritate my mother so much because she would just say, oh, Kathy, you can't possibly remember that. People don't remember things like that when they're that young, because
yeah.
I was under 1 year old.
Wow.
And it just felt like the wholeness of my essence landed into this little tiny body.
Wow.
And I remember feeling like I was smiling. Of course, it was kind of hard to control an infant body.
Yeah.
But that was my first memory. I
wow.
can remember looking up at my father pushing me in a carriage.
Huh.
And so that used to really, really, really irk my mother. My father didn't really say that much about it, but
yeah.
I'll share with you later. I saw him actually on a starship later years, so I think he had some kind of an inkling of what was going on.
Uh-huh.
And then I would say in elementary school, I had a lot of... I didn't really think that it was that unusual, but I had a lot of knowings without having been taught certain subjects.
Uh-huh.
For instance, when we were studying ancient Egypt and how to make papyrus, and I knew all this information, I felt like I could remember certain scents that were in temples.
Huh.
And one project in particular, when we were learning hieroglyphics,
uh-huh.
and having to write stories up on the chalkboard. And I can remember when it was my turn, and I just went on and on and on. And you kind of develop an empathic feeling towards other people,
uh-huh.
and trying to fit in and trying to do what you knew you were supposed to do. And my teacher made me stop writing on the board. And when I turned around, because I was very proud of myself because I had done so much better than all the other students,
uh-huh.
when I turned around and looked at her face and I saw the horror on her face, and it was the same kind of look that my mother would give me when I would tell her stories.
Wow.
You know, the fear.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fear of the unknown.
Right. Right. And you know, I could feel from the teachers, what do we do with this kid?
Mm-hmm.
Doing a lot of art projects just seemed to come very naturally to me, and you could feel it from the teachers that they just thought I was odd. We moved around quite a bit, too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Did
so that's when I really first started noticing that I could hear voices.
Uh-huh.
And I learned pretty quickly not to talk about them.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was one of the lines in the Harry Potter movie where he's hearing voices in his head, and the young girl says, well, I don't think it's good for even a magician to hear voices in his head.
Right.
What was that like? What did they say?
Just little childhood things,
mm-hmm.
Like let's go to the sandbox, things like that,
mm-hmm.
because I was very shy as a child, very shy, and because we moved around so much, I was very withdrawn,
mm-hmm.
and my brother and sister were much more outgoing than I was, and so they made friends very easily, so, you know, looking back over the years, I know that my mom would talk a lot about my imaginary friends, but
mm-hmm.
they were not imaginary. At least I didn't think they were.
Well, I had those two.
Yeah. And they didn't all look human.
Yeah.
And that was really the first clue that I had that I was different, because these beings were... I looked at them as my family.
Yeah.
I was never afraid of them.
Yeah. Did they ever make any appearances to you while you were growing up, or was it more audio?
You know, it was mostly audio. However, when I had when I was approached as an adult by this one being, when I was in my early 30s. There was an instant recognition that this being that I had known from childhood, but I had put it out of my head.
Uh-huh.
And again, I wasn't afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really, really big tip.
Oh, yes.
All of my contacts with different star beings, I'm never afraid of them.
Hmm.
Some of them I have looked at, they look like giant spiders.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like literally?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Like a daddy long legs.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen, I have never seen a praying mantis type person. But I have seen, I evidently am on some kind of a council that meets.
Uh-huh.
It must be some kind of like a United Nations
uh-huh.
type thing, and beings of all different kinds attend these meetings.
Uh-huh.
But I've never been afraid of them.
Wow, I'm going to have to ask you because I know that some of the people in the audience are going to wonder: have you ever seen any of the reptilians, or the grays, or the blondes, or?
You know, the only one that I have ever seen that did scare me actually was chasing me. It was a very odd experience. It was at this place that looks like the United Nations.
Uh-huh.
And this being came towards me. It was very tall, and it was brown, like
uh-huh.
a chocolate brown. It wasn't a reptilian face. It
okay.
was, he had the face of a horse.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And he was coming towards me, definitely a shapeshifter. My two children are also starseeds.
Wow.
And my son was with me during this one occasion, and he handed me something that I was able to, I remember it so distinctly that he told me to put this, whatever it was he handed me, to put it in my mouth, and I did, and it made both of us shapeshift into the same kind of appearance
wow.
as this horse-shaped being.
Oh, my goodness.
And so by the time he got up next to us, we looked like him.
Oh, my goodness.
But then he changed into a human man.
Whoa.
So if I ever run into this person, I am going to know who it is.
Oh, my.
He had very, very light blonde hair and very light blue eyes.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I haven't ever seen any of the standard creatures.
Run-of-the-mill, black-eyed, gray people.
Right.
So they can actually look like anybody. So as far as we know, would you think that they're here on the planet now?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
Yeah, I do.
I think they probably have been for a very long time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Your sense of their purpose here? Are they benevolent? Are they helping? Are they just intermingling? Is it, you know, what's your feeling about their you know, about who they are, what they are?
I generally, I tend not to focus on them at all.
Okay.
Because I think that the majority of beings that are here to help us.
Yeah.
I do believe that there is a dark side. I didn't used to until I had that incident with the horse person, the horse being.
Uh-huh.
And looking back on it now, I kind of felt like maybe I was kind of Pollyanna. You know, with thinking everything was good.
Yeah.
All beings are good.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way anymore.
But it didn't actually. Did you feel any malevolent intent towards you, or?
Yes.
Oh, you did.
Yes, I did.
That's
why when he was chasing me, and my son handed me this thing to put in my mouth, and it made me shapeshift to look like him.
Oh.
So yes, that was very interesting.
Well, that is interesting. Now, let's see, you had, when would you say that you had, like, your first major awakening where you just realized, aha, you know, this is it, this is, you know, I now I know why I was different as a child.
Right. I think probably the biggest thing, I mean, I had some strange things happen to me that I just really passed it off. I just put it out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Let me talk about those first.
Yeah, sure.
When I was in my mid-30s, my husband and I were trying to have another child. We already had a daughter, and that was when this being appeared to me in my room that night, and I knew him instantly as Mr. E.
Oh, okay.
And it was like a green hologram.
Huh.
In my window. And this is another thing, you know, after these things happen, I'm always shocked because I'm not afraid.
Uh-huh.
I mean, how many people would think that a green hologram person appearing in your window was normal?
Yeah.
And so I instantly knew him as Mr. E, and so I knew he had told me to call him Mr. E because his name was very hard to pronounce.
Mm.
Because it's a different language. It's a star language, and it's very high-pitched, tonal. And so I actually, I know that at that instance, my body, the molecules, were repatterned, and I was taken somewhere.
Oh, my.
And my son was conceived that night.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and so he was born exactly 9 months to that day.
Wow.
And he doesn't look anything like his father. He looks like a male me.
My goodness.
Mm-hmm. And so that happened in the late 80s. And then when after he was born, and he was just really little, still in diapers,
uh-huh.
And I went out one day to get him some diapers, and I was in what I should have been in a fatal accident,
uh-huh.
A car accident.
What happened then?
Well, I was coming out of our development, and there was a car coming up over the crest of a hill. It had its turn signal on, and we were the only street that this person could have turned in on.
Uh-huh.
And so I waited until she got almost to the street before I pulled out, only she didn't stop.
Uh-oh.
And I was close enough to see her face, and it looked like, Lance, it looked like she didn't even see me.
Uh-huh.
Or that she was almost like robotic. She just, there was no shock on her face that somebody was pulling out right in front of her.
Uh-huh.
Just a very blank look. And I had this feeling of a giant hand coming down out of the sky.
Uh-huh.
I don't really, it happened so fast, it felt like this hand pushed my car across the street out of her way.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if there was some kind of a time warp thing going on.
Yeah.
Or if my car was made non-solid.
Right,
I don't
right.
know. But I know that my car was pushed to the other side of the street, and she kept on driving. And I was so shaken up, I pulled off the side of the road to see, you know, to see if this person was shaken up too, because mm-hmm. I just couldn't believe that that happened. And she just kept right on driving.
Huh. But you had a passenger with you?
No, I was alone.
Okay.
No, of course, these things very rarely happen with somebody else.
But, you know, a lot of people describe similar experiences. I mean, that is actually not uncommon. I don't want to belittle your experience, but it's not uncommon for people to be literally moved around almost in slow motion or as if time has stopped.
Right.
And, you know, of course, given your experiences with, you know, with extraterrestrials, some people say that angelic beings are the extraterrestrials. So.
Yeah, I think that they're interchangeable energies.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do.
Mm. I've kind of leaned in that direction myself.
Mm-hmm. Because there's been too many times when I've been in the presence of both.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is some kind of a definite energy that is angelic and a definite energy that is a star being, they either work together or they are able to change depending on what's needed.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so and then what happened?
I would say then I went through just a period of time where I was very stuck in 3D stuff
mm-hmm.
with a marriage that was failing and this and that and mm-hmm. Going through a divorce. And so pretty much most of my spiritual life was put on the back burner.
Okay.
For several years. I would say that I was totally reawakened with September 11th.
Ah, this is going to be an interesting story, and I think people will really be fascinated by it because it is an interesting story. why don't you go ahead and tell us about that?
Well, I was at work, like so many other people,
mm-hmm.
and I was at my desk, and one of my coworkers came running into my office, and she said, "Turn on the radio. A plane's just hit the World Trade Center."
Mm-hmm.
And so I did, and we happened to have a TV in the conference room, and so pretty much all work stopped, and the whole agency that I work in, I'm an insurance agent,
mm-hmm.
Pretty much everybody went into the conference room, and it was so shocking, but it made me feel even stranger and more different than everybody else,
mm-hmm.
Because I felt like it was my job to help the victims.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel, you know how they were showing on TV all of the people that were left behind? And it was so heart-wrenching
mm-hmm.
to see them holding photographs of their loved ones.
Yeah.
I had no concern for those people.
Mm.
It was very strange. I mean, there was compassion for them, certainly. Mm. But I was more focused on the people that vanished.
Mm.
And so we all were let out of work early, and I went home, and all I can remember is when I was going to bed that night, I just in my prayers said, "Let me go into spirit and help these people cross over."
Uh-huh.
And this is another instance where I just did something from my heart. Like, how did I know how to do that?
Yeah.
How did I even know that would work?
Yeah.
And I have very vivid memories of, it looked like flashes of gold, like flying over a wheat field.
Uh-huh.
And then getting there, I know that I went to New York.
Uh-huh.
And it looked so much like what everybody saw on television, all of the dustiness.
Uh-huh.
Everything had like a white film over it. And there were other beings there. I cannot tell you what they look like. I cannot tell you if they were angels, but I have some comments too later on about what angels have appeared like to me. They don't look like the artist's rendition. And so I got the impression that they were very happy to see me, to have them join them.
Uh-huh.
So looking back on it, I thought, God, I must have done this before. And so I cannot tell you what exactly I did. That is, once I got there and was greeted by these other beings that were helping these people, I don't know where they went. I don't know if we took them to another dimension. I don't know if they were put on a starship. I don't know. I can't really address that because I don't remember.
But they were being moved out.
They were being moved out and helped along. Mm-hmm.
And this was not their physical form. This was
They were pretty transparent. I mean, they looked kind of white. Like you would think a ghost would look.
Yeah.
They still had their human form, but they were not solid mass. They looked pretty much like the dust that was everywhere.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell that they were, you know, shocked or frightened?
Yes, they were in all different emotional states. Some of them were remembering their families.
Uh-huh.
Like they knew what was going on. They remembered what was going on. And they were upset about leaving their families.
Yeah.
A lot of them were in shock. A lot of them were really angry.
Did you get the sense from any of them that they had incarnated here for that purpose?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, but they had, every one of them had that realization.
Yes.
After a bit.
Yes.
That was another instance where I learned that time does not exist on the other side, because when I got there was in 3D Earth time, hours and hours later.
Yeah.
But when I arrived there, it was like it had just happened.
Yes, yes.
So, there to every single one that I know that I worked with, they all knew that was their purpose.
Uh-huh.
Their purpose was to unite humans.
Yes. That had been created for us, had it not?
Yes.
That's my understanding. That's
mm-hmm.
what my guides have shown me. That 911 from the other side was created almost like an artist rendering, almost like a masterpiece.
Right, and like I said, I don't know where these beings went. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like they had just stepped right over into another dimension.
Yes.
That they had left their physical bodies behind. But I don't know exactly where we took them.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
And, you know, the next morning when I got up and I was in the bathroom brushing my teeth, and I kept thinking, it hit me then.
Yeah.
Why in the world did I ask to do that? How did I know that I could even do that?
Mm.
And even now, I would not be able to teach somebody how to leave their body
mm-hmm.
and go into another dimension. I do it all the time now, but I couldn't teach somebody how to do that. I don't know how I do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's similar to people who have some psychic gifts that they just do it, and it can't be, you know, they don't know how it happened.
Right. You have no tangible proof.
Right.
You have no explanation.
Yep.
It just happens.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So your impression from that was that the 911 event had been created to help shock us into awakening?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Yes. And actually, there was a similar sort of thing with the space shuttle Columbia.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you notice about how that there were seven astronauts and they were all from different countries, representing different religions, representing different races.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of different symbolisms with that about the Columbia. I don't speak French, but I understand that colombe is dove in French.
Yeah.
I probably butchered that, but
no, not too bad.
There was just a lot of different symbolisms with that, but I totally think that explosion also, that they were on a peacekeeping mission.
And then my impression is that then in that case, those participants actually volunteered to incarnate and spend their life to reach that moment when
mm-hmm.
when they would be able to create that shock for the rest of humanity.
Right. Right. It was, to me, it was another attempt at trying to awaken people and trying to bring people together.
Mm-hmm. It seemed to have achieved that purpose for a moment.
For yes.
But,
unfortunately,
you know,
it didn't last very long.
No, we can't be blowing up ships and buildings every day just to awaken.
Right.
That's not very practical.
No, it's not. But, you know, I've talked to a lot of other people who had huge awakenings on September 11th. And maybe didn't experience it the same way I did, but that was like, and I think you would find probably with your listeners that a lot of people can relate to that, that served as the floodgates being opened.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes, I would be willing to bet that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me either if many of the family members felt that they were participating in something that had been planned out in advance.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of shows on television where they've interviewed family members, and so many of them said that they thought that this person, their loved one, had a higher purpose,
mm-hmm.
and that they were able to deal with the death because of that.
Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, you know, the veil that keeps us from being aware of what is going to happen to us seems to gradually lift for some people, and for others, they just know.
Yeah,
they just know. Or they've been shown.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That must have really shocked you out of your normal humdrum insurance sales existence.
Well, yeah, it did. And I started feeling like I needed to learn some kind of a healing modality.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like I had healing ability in my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had found some people to talk to, and they kind of laughed at me because I guess a lot of people had felt like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was directed to the La Jolla Institute, which luckily for me was in Hillsborough, North Carolina, near Chapel Hill. So
mm-hmm.
it was only about an hour's drive, so I was able to go and take a year's worth of training for that. It's similar to Reiki.
Okay.
And there's also a component of La Jolla that's called Angel Light, and that's an angel healing involving an initiation.
Huh.
And I had a very large experience with that as well.
Oh, let's hear about that one.
Okay.
I love these.
I didn't. I've had a very unusual life, I guess.
Say.
And when my guides first asked me to write this book, I said, well, I don't have anything to say. And
yeah.
they said, just share your stories.
Yeah.
Just make yourself vulnerable.
Yep.
Open yourself up and make yourself naked in front of people and tell your stories, because you won't believe how many other people are going to come out of the woodwork with similar stories.
Yes, absolutely.
So that was my entire purpose.
Absolutely.
I went to this initiation, and there were probably 30 people in there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I hadn't taken any kind of training at all in any kind of healing work. All the only experience really that I had up till then was the helping these people cross over
mm-hmm.
September 11th. But I knew that I had something in me that needed to be trained.
Right.
Not really trained, but kind of so it would make me
directed.
Remember.
Yes.
Okay. And so I went with a friend of mine, and she had a really bad cough. And we worked in pairs. And I can remember when I was working on her, and I couldn't really feel any energy going through my body at all. And she kept coughing and coughing. And I thought, well, this is just not going to be strong enough to help her. And the minute I had that thought, all of a sudden, from the corner of the room came this purple light that was like a magnificent, the most beautiful shade of purple that you could ever imagine.
Oh.
And it was warm.
Huh.
And I really didn't have that much experience knowing anything about ascended masters. I had seen a picture before of Saint Germain, but I didn't know anything about him. And as this ray of light came out of the ceiling, it went into my arms and up my shoulder and into my entire body. And the face of Saint Germain appeared to me and said that I bring you the gift of the purple flame for healing.
Wow. That's awesome.
Well, yeah, it was. But I was so overwhelmed with that because I was new on a spiritual path,
yeah.
Or at least I thought I was.
Yeah.
At least this life I was.
Yeah.
And I felt so strange because I thought, here's all these other people that have been doing this for years and years. Why are you appearing to me? That didn't get answered.
Oh, it didn't.
No.
Darn.
But
bad things remain.
Yeah, but this purple light went through my whole body, though, Lance. And it felt real hot, but it wasn't a painful hot. And I had this recognition that it was a divine light,
wow.
And I just sobbed.
Whoa.
It was, to me, it looked like when you see tent revivals on TV, which I always thought were pretty fake.
Yeah, corny.
But yeah, with people being touched and being instantly healed.
Yeah.
And they would be crying, but that was real. It
really?
Was so real. I knew that what I was seeing and what was being put in my body was a divine light.
Wow.
And I just remember just sobbing, like shoulders shaking, sobbing.
Yeah.
And so that was another interesting experience.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
How long did that feeling, how long did you still feel, of course you can reflect on what it felt like then, but did that stay with you to some extent? In other words, did some of the energy from that experience remain, or did it?
Oh, yeah, I still have it.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I do. I still do a lot of healing work, both in person and remote. And because I feel like it's a gift from spirit, I usually just take love offerings for it, because I'm tithing back to spirit for what I've been gifted with.
Yeah, yes. So then after that, did you continue doing healing work for a bit?
Mm-hmm.
And what was your next unusual experience?
Gosh, there are so many. a lot of it, well, probably I would say being asked to write this book.
Oh, yes, I'd like to hear that.
That happened when I started taking the Lahochi training. I had my guides that would talk to me, and there were visuals of these guides. They're golden.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of have a shape. They're kind of human looking. They have a head and arms and legs, but they're very floaty. And they're sparkly and golden.
Wow.
But, they asked me to write this book, and I was really stubborn about it. I really did not want to expose myself.
Yeah.
And I really felt like, it felt to me like I had a whole lot of past life memories of being burned at the stake and drowned coming rushing back. And I was told that this time would be different. And that there were a lot of other incarnated star beings and angelics that really had no awareness, and they needed to be awakened, and that by sharing my experiences, that would help them along.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's the sole purpose of the book. It's, once they're awakened, their they're on their own or somebody else can take over with helping somebody on their path. That was my purpose, to help them awaken.
Wow.
And to see if maybe somebody would have a similar experience, to know that they're not alone. The intent of the book was to keep it very short. I'm sure you noticed it's a very small book.
Yeah.
But it was on purpose.
Well, it's not always the size that counts.
That's right. That's right.
It's quality. You know, you pack a lot in those pages.
Yes, I do. And at the end of some of the chapters, there's some prompts about if somebody had experienced something similar, how did it make them feel? But anyway, they were very specific about which things I could share. I did have one experience of talking about a starship and its existence, its actual location. And I did everything, you know, on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day when I went to finish this chapter, it had been erased.
Oh, huh.
So that was interesting. I figured, well, I guess I'm not supposed to share that.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah.
With me, it'll be an email, and my system will crash or something, or all the power goes off or something.
Right, right.
You know, and I'll be telling something about my own experiences about 911 and my own, which parallel yours quite, quite well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I was actually shown, you know, the visuals of, you know, what I was told what happened and how it happened. And it basically, it's exactly what you said. And the symbolism of the Twin Towers, meaning the dualism and, you know, the end of duality and this location in New York, you know, the banking center.
Yes.
Turning away from materialism. I mean, there was nothing that was not thought out about it.
Right.
And it was like a project. You know, like when you have a school project and they say, well, you know, this is a science fair and we want you to come up with your best project. And it was like that. It was a team of really loving beings that crafted, I saw in my vision, life-size paper mache people in terror, you know, looking back and, you know, and they were in this museum, like, it was like a huge room, like a museum, and here were these stark white figures running, and this was all done and crafted as an idea, as a thought, before it was actually carried out. And you know, they said on the, you know, they said that people were rushed out, and then some of those people shared their experiences from the other side about what it was like to be veiled. And, you know, then they described the other people and the shock and the horror. And, of course, you know, that was really part of why it was done, if not the main reason. Anyway, I didn't mean to.
That's interesting. And I'm always so interested to hear other people's take on that day.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot more going on than most people realize.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think people understand at a very deep level that there was more to this event than meets the eye.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think this conspiracy theory, you know, the 911 Truth Organization, has really been created because people know, but they don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so outside the box to think that this might be something, you know, from another dimension, you know,
right.
Cars, you know, and there were ships involved, and you know,
so that's where they went. They went on ships. We put them on ships.
Yes, exactly.
See, I didn't have the ending part.
And, you know, and I, every time I've told that story, I just kind of like, people just kind of think, well, yeah, there's another crazy story in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really, really vital that we share these experiences, because I just know that we're on some kind of a tipping point. And that it's really vital to get people to get the information out there so that those who are meant to be awakened can be triggered.
Right.
And those who have had similar experiences will think, oh, I'm not crazy. Oh,
right.
My God.
Right.
We're talking about this on the radio.
Yeah.
I had the same experience. Oh, my God. You know.
Either that or they'll think, boy, Lance had a crazy person on the other night.
But you know, somebody's got to put their foot in the mouse trap, and you know, and
yep.
Sometimes it goes snap, and sometimes it doesn't. But
right,
you know,
and you,
Yeah, go ahead.
One thing I use as a gauge to make sure I'm not crazy is that I have the ability to hold down a management level job in 3D. And so if I was constantly doing that, I would maybe think that there might be some kind of an issue. But
Well, it seems pretty, from what I can tell, you haven't actually come out and said it, but it sounds like you have been not necessarily abducted, but taken.
I was.
Yes.
And I was.
Do you have memories of that as a child?
I do.
Or any of the other times that you've been?
Right, I do. I was taken a couple of times prior to my son's conception.
Oh, I'm fascinated by this.
Right. I just have kind of spotty memories about that.
Uh-huh.
But again, the only thing that scared me, I knew that they were in they, quote unquote,
right,
would be in the area because I would get real fidgety and goosebumps. Like the hair on my arms would stand up.
Yes.
And I know that a couple times, I would say this was after my son was born, because we had moved to another town in North Carolina when these different events happened, that I can remember standing up in the bedroom because a bright light was coming through my window, and I remember looking out in the yard and just seeing this very bright light, and I could see a couple of beings coming in, so I knew I was going. And I can remember some things about being on a ship, huge ship.
What's it like on the inside?
It was, the only thing I can remember about it was that somehow they were able to transport me by doing something to the molecules in my body. And so I wasn't as dense as in a 3D reality type situation, but there was still some substance there because it felt like the floor of this place was rubbery.
I've heard that, yes.
It was real bouncy.
Yeah.
And I remember going into what looked like a lecture hall, and there were thousands of humans. Thousands.
Whoa.
And I think that there were other starseeds that are here on missions, but I don't remember any of them. This was like a teaching ship.
Wow.
The being that was at the front of this auditorium-like room was very tall and very thin and tan with no hair.
Huh.
I've not seen any pictures or drawings or anything of a being like him.
Okay.
I would say he was thin, like at the end of Close Encounters.
Uh-huh.
When they come out to get Richard Dreyfuss?
Yes, that's God.
Okay, tall and thin.
Okay, yeah.
But they did have flesh, like a tan hairless body.
Huh.
And then I don't remember too much else. I do remember this huge mothership landing, like out in the field. I don't know where we were. And that we were brought out, all these humans, and I mean, this mothership was huge, Lance. It was huge. I can't even tell you if it was like the size of a city. So I don't know where we landed.
Some people have said that they're like 15 miles wide.
I would believe that.
You know, it's so big you can't even imagine, you know.
Yeah.
So then you landed in some out place that you didn't recognize.
Right, that I didn't recognize. There wasn't any kind of a landmark around. I mean, it was a field. There wasn't anything else around it. I do know that they put us in these little tiny, like, I would call it a pod ship. It evidently was controlled by remote control because there was no pilot to it. And I remember stepping in that there were three other humans in there with me.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who they were.
Uh-huh.
And I can remember when I stepped into this little thing, it felt like I was getting on a ride at Disney World.
Ooh,
or something.
Neat. Yeah, it sounds like that.
Because it was very little.
Yeah.
We all sat knee to knee. It was like round.
Uh-huh.
And then it was kind of like a glass dome was closed over top of us, and that's all I can remember.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember them dropping off other passengers.
Right.
I just remember waking up the next morning. And there were two such visits like that. I do have a fear of heights in my conscious awareness, and I do remember these two escort beings. The first time that they took me, not this time with the ship, but when they, the first time that they took me, when they brought me back, they actually escorted me all the way back to my bed. And I do remember asking them to please, when they came to get me again, to please make sure I was all the way asleep. Because I didn't like going up high in the sky.
Okay. Interesting. I wanted to ask you if since your son is also, it sounds like, you know, he could be half, you know, something else, or
right.
You know, what's your feeling about that? I mean, how old is he now?
He is 17.
Okay, so would you say that, would he fall into the indigo crystal slash?
Oh, indigo.
Indigo? Okay.
Oh, yeah. He, you know, at first I thought, oh, he's a crystal. He's so gentle. And actually, he has characteristics of both. I'm having a lot of problems with him in school. It's very difficult because he just hates school. He's very creative, so he loves doing art. But it's really hard to try to get him to not skip school.
Yeah. Well, I can understand that one.
To not talk back to the assistant principal. But on the other hand, he's very loving towards me. I did have a reading done on both of my children and was told that my daughter, when she's in her later 20s, will probably be doing work with me.
Wow.
And that my son was here to protect both his sister and his mom.
Wow.
So that we can do our work. So
wow.
He is very protective of me.
Good. That's good.
Very protective. His eyes are very, very dark brown.
Wow.
So his eyes are different than mine are. Mine are more hazel.
Yeah.
But other than that, he doesn't look like his father at all. He looks exactly like me.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I will also... do you feel that I'm kind of going to roll two questions into this at once?
Okay.
You mentioned that it seemed like the molecules were shifting and that, you know, there was less density. Do you feel that do you feel that we're headed towards a density shift here on the planet and that it might have anything to do with the Mayan prophecies of 2012 and all that? Or is that pie in the sky? Or what's your personal take on that? Why are we here?
All I know is that I have had my own molecules worked on so that interdimensional travel is easier on my physical body.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't address that, Lance. That's not what I'm here for.
Okay. Well, you know... It's my take on the indigos and this project of awakening the children, you know, or creating children that are more awake it's an awakening. It's almost like creating a tidal wave of awakening, and that there will be some kind of nexus point or tipping point when we will be able to, like the 100th monkey theory, where the next person will get it, and then everybody has it, and like an event horizon. So, of course, I don't know. I mean, that's just sheer speculation, but it does seem that, you know, you have an idea of what your purpose is here, evidently, to help awaken those who haven't yet realized that they are different or starseed. Is that
right?
Yeah. And, So there you have it. My mind just went blank for some strange reason. I was just associating with the starseed thing.
Let me reel in my energy here a minute.
I'm overwhelmed.
Sometimes people kind of get blown away, so let me reel myself in a little.
Okay. Oh, yes, I've heard them called the wanderers before, that there are so many here that have not yet awakened, and that it has to do with some kind of harvest, soul harvest, or, you know, an end of an era.
Right.
But in any case, since I don't know anything about that, I do, and lots of people are speculating, it does seem that things are heating up on this little globe.
Things are heating up, and, you know, I mean, I wrote this book several years ago. And I've done some classes with it, done some talks with it, done some book signings with it, but it really didn't feel like it was time to talk about it in such a public venue. But it now's the time.
Yes. Well, you know, our paths crossed months ago, and then I read your book, and I thought, oh my goodness, what a story! And it resonated with me so greatly. I mean, I could see my own life flashing in front of me, and you know, it was like, oh my goodness. And so then I asked you, you know, would you be willing to do the radio show sometime? And you said yes, but maybe later on. And then, you know, circumstances have kind of lined up so that, you know, this was like the only time I was able to do it. And here you are able to do it. So there are no accidents.
No.
So apparently it must be time for you to come out of hiding.
And that's right. Shine my light.
And do that naked thing again that they told you to do. Well, you know, there's no reason why we can't have fun with these things. I mean, it's like an analogy. You know, you're going to go to Portland, and you can either drive on the highway or you can drive in the ditch, but you're still going to end up in Portland.
That's right.
So.
And that's actually the essence that I carry, is one of joy. I do laugh a lot. And, you know, I mean, Earth is a pretty ridiculous place. And you know what? For a long time after I awakened and I realized what it was, I was really mad. I was really, really mad at being here. And any notion, any talk about, well, all you light workers volunteered to come and help. And I kept saying, no, I didn't. I was asked to come here. That I was promised that I would reunite with my soul family once I got here. And I kind of feel like I have. I've met a lot of people that I think are in my soul family. And it's kind of almost like in the past couple of months, I kept hearing, well, we've held up our end of the deal. So it was time for me to go out. I would like to mention one more thing, too, about the colors on the cover of my book. That those were given to me also. And that people would be able to look at the symbols that are on there, maybe not the writing, the actual text, but they would be able to recognize by looking at the colors and the symbol that is on there of home. I was specifically given the certain colors to use. The aqua background on it is from my home.
Do you happen to know where that is?
It has something to do with the central sun. And I asked these golden beings that I work with where that is, and I couldn't get everything. It sounded like something Torah. Not like Torah the movie. But it was just something Torah, and that it had something to do with the central sun. But that's all I know.
Kathy, why don't you tell the listeners before we run out of time how they can find your book and where they can reach you and, you know, where your website is and all that.
The website address is higherground healing.net. And the book can be ordered from BookSurge, who is the publisher, if you wanted to put it on a credit card. I'm not equipped to take credit card payments. I will take checks or money orders. And you can get that information off my website. The BookSurge customer service number is 866-308-6235, extension 120. If somebody wanted to either use a credit card or a check or money order and they want me to sign the book, I would be glad to do that.
Yes, I have mine signed.
Yes, you do.
And then how do they do that?
They can contact my web mistress at her website, and that is called Further, F-U-R-T-H-E-R, beyond.com.
Okay. Good. And what's her name again?
Her name is Morgan Chai.
Morgan Chai.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a tea.
I know.
Spicy.
Yes. She is spicy.
So, Kathy, we've got a few minutes left. What would you like to, what do you really feel you'd like to share? I mean, this is really your time.
Mm-hmm.
This is your space. I'm just here to kind of hold the phone.
Okay.
So you just say whatever you'd like to share with the audience.
Well, my like I keep saying, my purpose is to let people know that they're not alone with these strange occurrences in their life.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm not the only person that's had these things happen to them.
Right.
I know that I'm not the only person who's had very positive experiences with star beings, that I consider them to be my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so often we hear about abduction type things,
mm-hmm.
In experiments. I never had that experience.
Mm.
And I'm sure that there are a lot of other people that would consider star beings to be their family.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what I went through feeling so alone and so strange. And I just have so much compassion for other people. I don't want anybody else to have to go through what I went through.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You know, so I want to make myself, like you said, as naked as possible. And you know, they can contact me through my website. My email address is on there. I don't want to give too much information on the radio. People be writing all this stuff down.
I'll just repeat your website again so they can, if they want to contact you from there, they can.
Yes.
It's a www.higherground-healing.net.
That's correct.
So, do you have any advice for people that are starting to wake up? Because I know this is going to be a process that, it's an ongoing process, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And did you find that, you know, you had this shift of, you know, this awakening, and that there were further awakenings that continued to kind of reverberate?
Oh, every day.
Yes, yes.
Every day. And a lot of the things that happened to me were physical symptoms, too. And there's a lot of good books available that talk about physical changes in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if one day you wake up and you feel like you have the flu
mm-hmm.
and it's a real intense fever, but it's not like a normal flu
mm-hmm.
and it's a spiritual flu,
mm.
just odd things like that and different things that you can do to help them.
You also do flower essences, don't you?
I do. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Mhm. That was all guided by spirit as well.
Wow.
So a lot of times when I'm talking to somebody, some vegetable or plant or something will pop into my head, or I'll be shown a picture of something that would be helpful for them to use.
Uh-huh.
And so vibrational medicine, I think, is going to be very big.
Uh-huh.
Pretty soon.
Is everything, do you sense everything is alive and has its own spirit?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Everything has its own tone
mm-hmm.
that we might not be able to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, everything is about vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we can see it has a different frequency. So that's why I really like using the flower essences, because they address issues that are in the etheric before they manifest in the physical body.
Mm. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kathy, you know, this has been a wonderful conversation. I am just so happy that we were able to have this conversation, and you are so delightful, and your energy. I just, you know, I feel better just talking to you. I mean, this
Thank
has been
you.
Like a therapy session, and and you have a great voice and a good sense of humor, what do your guides show you in the near future? Are they kind of prodding you in any particular direction, but the book?
Yes, the book,
okay,
which has
good.
Been which has been a very big surprise for me, because I thought that it would be more doing healing work. but more in the direction of doing talking about the book and helping people, which was my intention a couple years ago when it was written.
Yeah.
And, you know, also about doing readings for people because I can tap into past lives so easily.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kathy, we are out of time. I want to thank you profusely for a wonderful show and for being such a great person in the world. And for sharing your awakening with everybody. And I will wish everybody good night.
Thank you so much, Lance.
All right. Thanks again, Kathy.
Be well.
All right. You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.